Now, get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Get it going this morning. Good morning. Here we are on Crime Time Live. Can Congress save our state? Or is Michigan doomed for years to be the unemployment state? We'll have an opportunity to speak with U.S. Congressman Gary Peters later on the show and ask him, where are the jobs here in Michigan? You get a chance to ask him what's going on. And should Mary Waters be allowed to withdraw her plea? Well, that's right. Our good friend Mary Waters is back in the news. Back in the news. She wants to have a judge take her off the hook, undo her plea of guilty. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And are our kids safe from their teachers? Have you heard what's going on? Why is sexual assault from a teacher going on in the news? What is going on in Garden City sex case against the teacher accused of having sex with his patient, with his student? Can rapper T.I. stay out of jail? Well, we're going to hear about that. He pleads, begs the judge, keep me out of going to prison. Please, judge. Does the judge buy his rap? Well, we'll see. We'll get all to that. And what about the police? What do we do if they step over the line? Can we ever sue the police for the things they do? Are they immune from our lawsuits? Can we protect our rights from what the police might do? Well, we'll talk with our favorite attorney, Greg Young, one of our attorney specialists, and we'll see whether or not you can ever sue the police. Plus, your calls and questions here on Crime Time Live on Progressive Talk Radio, heard all over the country on internet radio, talkzone.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. We got so many issues to get today. I don't know how we're going to fit it in. Man, I need a two-hour show. Mary Waters asked to withdraw her guilty plea on tax charges. Can you believe that? Former state rep Mary Waters, who this morning, well, yesterday morning, asked a federal court to withdraw her guilty plea stemming from public corruption scandal. And she says, listen to this. She says she's been agonizing over her plea since her sentencing 9 days ago. It's literally eating away at me, she says. Water on the phone interview this morning. It's been a tough deal with this whole thing, and I now have a record. My reputation has been ruined, she talks to the Detroit Free Press. Of course, she's the ex-girlfriend of political consultant and co-defendant Sam Riddle. Hand-delivered her one-page request to withdraw her plea to the U.S. District Court, that's federal court, Kurt's office, yesterday. She said that it wasn't until early this morning that she actually decided to withdraw her plea. The consequences, of course, having a federal misdemeanor on her record, were starting to get to her. Well, what was she thinking? I mean, did she think that it wasn't going to be on her record? That somehow nobody would know about it? I mean, are you kidding me? Did anybody... I don't understand. What did she think was going to happen? The consequence of pleading guilty to a misdemeanor is going to be on your record. She feels that she's going to be shunned by many people since the public corruption scandal broke out. Waters says she's still angry that her indictment even took place in the first place. Adding to her frustration, she learned today that she can't get a federal misdemeanor expunged from her record. Well, oh my goodness. Isn't that something you should have thought before? Isn't that something that you should have thought before? You want to join this conversation, you call me Scott Weinberg at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. Because if you plead guilty, you plead no contest. Let me tell you what that is, people. You plead guilty or no contest. It's just like a criminal conviction, a guilty plea. It's going to be on your record. It's going to stay there. It's not coming back and coming off unless you expunge it. And you can't do that with your federal case. You got any questions, you call me 248-848-1310. Did you hear about what's going on in Garden City? There is a teacher who is accused of sexual assault of a student. Garden City High School teacher has been charged with sexually assaulting a 17-year-old student. Prosecutor Kim Worthy yesterday charged the 37-year-old Woodhaven man in connection with the sexual assault of a female student, alleged that he had sexual contact with the student. Sexual contact with his student. Did you hear that? Sexual contact with his own student. It's alleged that he gave her obscene material and used a computer to send the material to her, which in our world of criminal law, and I see it every day, that's a separate criminal charge. You put the material on your computer, you download it, that's one criminal charge. You send it, it's another criminal charge. You use that computer in furtherance of another crime, it's another criminal charge. He's been charged with four counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. There are four different degrees. He's charged with third degree. That means some type of sexual penetration. He's charged with distributing obscene material to a minor. That is a two-year felony. And using a computer to commit the felony. Let me tell you about what those cases are about, okay? You don't need physical force to be charged with some type of criminal sexual conduct if you are an authority over the complainant. That means if you are the doctor, if you are the lawyer, if you are their student, if the teacher is having sexual affair with a student, that is in itself, under the law, considered force. That is the coercion. They don't have to show that the teacher held the student against his will or her will to charge him with a sexual assault. They feel that that position of authority, that position allows a force to occur, that the law can imply that there's force. And that's how they charge these individuals, teachers, lawyers, doctors, therapists, priests, as position of authority over someone and therefore force, and therefore you can't have a sexual affair. It doesn't even mean, doesn't even matter that they are of age. Isn't that unbelievable? They could be 16 and it's still considered that because of the force. You call me if you want to chime in on that. If you think that's right or wrong, at 248-848-1310. Because some people would say, hey, if they're 16, 17 and they're having sexual affair with their teacher, so be it. They should be allowed. They're of age. As long as you're over 15 in this state, it's illegal. Do you believe that? Do you think that's right? You call me at 248-848-1310. And we'll see whether or not that is actually the case. Does the audience believe, do the people of the state of Michigan, do the people listening all across this great country of ours on internet radio believe that a teacher should be allowed to have sex with their patient, with their student? Should a doctor be allowed to have sex with his patient? If you arrest someone and you're a cop, should you be allowed to have a sexual affair with that arrestee? Now, that's an interesting question. Should the police be held liable for the things that they do? Are they an authority over us? Are they people, are they individuals, when they swear in that oath and they put on that badge, are they held to a different standard? You call me at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. You know, that's one of the subjects I want to get to today. I want to be able to decide, should our police be held responsible for the things they do? Because we see it every single day in the news. Every single day. The police are accused of going into a house and they shouldn't have. They're accused of beating up someone and they're now claiming that it's resisting arrest. How do we hold our authority figures responsible? And can we hold them responsible? We have a treat today where we have Greg Young, one of the legal specialists that we go to frequently on the show, because he knows more than us. He's been there. He's done it. He's represented individuals in their rights when they're abused. He can tell us when we have our rights abused. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm crazy this morning because I want to know, when can we hold our authority figures responsible? You know, we talked a little about the police, but we also have that alleged affair between the teacher and the student, and we hear all the time where police are also accused of abusing the authority. When can we hold officials, whether they're teachers who have authority of us or even government officials, liable for their actions?
Well, it's pretty convoluted in Michigan, Scott. We can hold them liable, but in Michigan, governmental figures and governmental entities, such as a city or something like that, have governmental immunity. We have to show either that the act was intentional or that it was gross negligence, way, way above what you and I would have to do to be held liable. So when a police officer does something wrong, we have to show that his actions were almost, not quite, but almost tantamount to an intentional act before he can be held liable. But here's the catch-22. If an officer or a governmental official does something intentional, well, then it's considered not in the course of their employment, and the city or the government can't be held liable because it wasn't in the course of the gentleman's or the lady's employment. So it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Go ahead, Scott.
Do you think that, you know, Greg, one of the issues, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having just a little feedback on your phone. Do you think that, let's take that student right now. Because, you know, when I was a prosecutor, I prosecuted cases where you would have authority figures that would be held liable. And you know what? It's hard to get a jury to convict on that kind of stuff. I prosecuted a psychologist one time who was having sex with his patient. And it was on one of those court TV national cases. They covered it all over the country. And you know what? I still had a jury member to say, yeah, but, you know, it really wasn't force. She wanted to have sex. She was an adult. Even if there's an authority figure, a student has authority figure of a teacher. You've got the lawyer. You've got the psychologist. It's hard to get a jury to sit there and say, hey, listen, we think that they abuse their authority. Do you find that's the case?
All the time, Scott. Even in civil trials, which you know I do, the jury wants to believe, and it's understandable, that certain people, the police, doctors, people that are there to generally help us, they want to truly believe that they don't do anything wrong because it undermines their belief in society. So it's a very much of an uphill battle. I'll tell you real briefly.
Hello?
Yeah, we lost Greg. Greg will get back on the phone. Having little technical difficulties here. You know, I do believe that everybody should have the right to sue if they feel they've been wronged. I do. But you got to be able to have a case. You got to be able to know that you have a right to be able to be protected from the government, from our authority figures, from teachers, from our doctors, from even lawyers. Hey, listen, lawyers can abuse that privilege all the time. We got to know, you know, and that's where we really have to use lawyers like Greg Young, or lawyers that are specialists in an area to know what are our rights. You know, Greg was talking about, is it an easy way to be able to protect ourselves with the threat of a lawsuit? And I don't know that it is. I think we have to have education. I really do. I think we have to be educated to know what our rights are. For instance, when the police come into our house, what are our rights with that? Is it something that we feel that we are not protected right now when the police are coming to our doors? Do we feel that our children are not protected when they go to school? How can we protect our rights if there isn't that threat of a lawsuit? You call me at 248-848-1310 if you want to join this conversation. Because I really believe that when you do have the potential for litigation, oh, sure, it can be abused. Every lawyer will tell you that. They really will. Every lawyer will tell you that there can be abuse of that system. It doesn't mean that every single lawsuit is an abuse. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Do you think that simply because there are abused, the legal system can be abused, that every lawsuit is an abuse? Because that's ridiculous. Because you have very, very important cases. You have our laws that are decided through the judicial system, that our judges interpreting the law through cases. If you don't have people willing to stand up for the right, their rights for everyone else, if you don't have them file a lawsuit and that issue being brought up so that it can cover your rights in the future, then you don't understand how our system works. Greg, you back on the line?
I am, Scott. I must have lost you there. I'm sorry.
So that's what we're talking about, is we need the civil system to protect our rights, because if not, who else is going to protect us?
We have to have the civil system, and you're absolutely right. It's the courts, the appellate courts, that make the decisions as to what the law says. And as I was saying earlier about governmental immunity, we have a crazy Supreme Court decision called Robinson versus City of Detroit, where in a police chase, it's considered that you have to have, the police have to be the sole single cause of the injury. And there was a case where a person had a broken taillight, and the police pulled him over, and he took off running with his car, fled the scene. Police chased him at over 100 miles an hour through subdivisions, and ultimately, the person that was fleeing hit a car and killed two 18-year-old wrestlers from North Oakland County. The police were held not to be liable because their car didn't touch the people who died's car.
That's unbelievable.
The person that was fleeing that touched them. So, in other words, the police have to be the sole, most direct cause. And that's never been the law until that case. And it's just ridiculous.
Why did it change? Why?
100 miles an hour, kill two people. They were violating all their own rules because most jurisdictions, police can't chase for a misdemeanor or a civil infraction like a broken taillight. But it didn't matter. The courts threw it out because of governmental immunity, essentially.
Is there anything that the ordinary citizen can do to can affect that? Can we elect people that are going to change that, or is it simply just through the case law?
We can elect people because in Michigan, unlike a lot of other states, Scott, the appellate courts, and particularly the Supreme Court, are elected. Our Supreme Court justices are elected. We have two slots coming up in a month or so in November, and you can elect your Supreme Court justices. It's very, very, very important because they make the determination on what the law means, and they are the ones that really affect us. So you have to vote.
Well, if you have any questions, you have any concerns about any of your rights, listen, you can call Greg direct. Greg, I know you don't want me to, but I'm going to give you your number out. So they can call you direct in the week. It's 248-855-1500. Now, he is one of the specialists in this area, and he, quite frankly, knows more than me. He knows more than many attorneys I know about any of these areas about protecting your rights. You call Greg at 248-855-1500. Greg, hey, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for helping the citizens of Michigan.
Well, we try the best we can. One of the biggest things that we try to do is try to protect everybody's rights. But by the same token, we need to protect our own rights. Hey, Ken, welcome back to the show. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, Scott. Well, you really touched the spot with me when you were talking about the teacher in Garden City, the molester or whatever he is. But my comment is about employees, other employees who may work for a school district and become aware of such situations. Are they not obligated by law to report such things?
You mean like whistleblowers?
Yeah.
You know, there are laws in this state that mandate, and it's different in every state, but in this state, there are laws that mandate that, for instance, let's say that you have a kid that goes to the counselor and says, Daddy's been touching me. My uncle touched me. Some type of accusation of something going on that's not even at the school. There is a civil and criminal liability on them if they don't go and report it.
Let's say an employee who is aware of it does report such a situation, inappropriate behavior by public school employees. I'm going to tell you something right now. In Michigan, that person, that whistleblower, is going to get fired because the school district is going to retaliate because this person is now considered a threat to their image. And the people who are responsible for putting that rat child molester in that spot, and they'll do anything to cover up that responsibility or face accountability for their actions.
Yeah. Well, what you have is you got a situation where everybody's going to protect themselves. Everybody wants to protect themselves. What
except
if it's a government?
He or she doesn't get protected. They get fired. They get sued. They are sent to jail.
It is difficult to be a whistleblower. You know, people think that you're always protected by the Whistleblower Act. Let me tell you something. That is not always the case. Ken, thanks for calling. That is not always the case because you always have to make sure that you are in a position where your other rights are protected. Before you become a whistleblower, you should call an attorney. You call 248-855-1500. You talk to Greg Young, just like we had him before, and he'll tell you all those rights. He'll tell you what you need to know about that. Amir, what do you got to say about that?
Well, be honest with you. If you are going to tell something that's going wrong inside the government, inside a company, common sense, what happened to common sense in America? We've lost that. Everything has, and I'm sorry, I know you're an attorney, but everything has to go through an attorney. We can't do anything inside our courts without an attorney because we've been dogged and just corrupted our own judicial system with all these retarded laws and this and that. Just like Bush, and he should be charged for war crimes. But we out here talking about, like that attorney general that was on last week.
Right.
I've prosecuted more men for child support. Well, you know what? I want people that's going to fix things.
You know, one of the issues, though, with the reason why, listen, it's a fair comment. Why do we need lawyers? Shakespeare wanted to get rid of us. Why do we need lawyers? And let me tell you something. If lawyers aren't there to support your rights, to protect you, you know who is? Nobody. That's why we need lawyers. Now, it doesn't mean that the system isn't abused. It is. I promise you it is. But if you don't have people that are educated to protect our constitutional rights, you think you got a better system? I'm telling you right now, you got a system that is going to be screwed up.
Look at it. Every law we've written, and every law we always talk about, especially with the Republican Party, and I'm sorry to say this, is always, we want to get the government off your back. And it seems like when any of those people get in office, they put more of it on our back and less off of the corporation's back. And then this is what I'm saying. You have attorneys writing all our legislation. Most of these people that's in Congress and in our state house, they're attorneys. I don't care which side they're on, Republican or Democrat. Nobody have just a moral stance of saying, people, this is our government. It's not the attorney's government. It's not the right-wing government. It's the American people's government. Yeah. Stop stepping on our neck.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Attorney General talking about he want to enforce more child support. Give me my dang on right. My two children are grown, so what about my children when they come up? My son has to go through the same thing, maybe, hopefully not, with the same dumb system.
Well, here's the story, Amir. Right,
and attorney...
Listen, let me tell you something. Everybody rails, against attorneys until you know what? Until you need one. Everybody rails against attorneys until you need your one. I'm listening to what you're saying.
It's not about the attorneys. It's about our system. Everybody keeps thinking, look, make it plain and simple. Quit putting all these dumb laws in place. Quit just stepping on people's rights. In the city of Detroit, we've lost all our rights, and it's all due to ignorance. It's not just attorneys. What I'm stating is that our system is broke. The attorneys and all these other so-called intellectuals have destroyed it.
Well, so I think let me tell you something.
All of y'all, but there's too many. You're one of the ones that do speak about a lot of the different things.
There are a lot of attorneys. There are a lot of podiatrists. There are a lot of dentists. You know what I mean? There's a lot of professionals.
Yes.
And let me tell you what happens. The reason why is because the other parts of the economy shut down too. I mean, that's why people become professionals many times. You can become a professional because you want to make the money. You can be a professional because you want to help people. You can become a professional for any reason you want. But the end result is, it's like any other system. When there are so many of them, it's difficult to even earn a living for the individuals that are in the system. And what happens is, it shuts down how many people are going to be in it. It's like an ebb and flow of the economy. It's just like a restaurant. It's just like any other part of the economy. Lawyers, doctors, podiatrists, there are more of them, the more interest there is in that profession. The more of them come out, the more competition there is, the less they're going to be effective, the less they're going to end up going into that profession. It's a cyclical type of system. There's no difference between professionals. There's no difference between any other kind of merchant. It's part of the economy. But I want to get back after the break. We're going to get back and we're going to talk about whether or not how we're going to create jobs in this state. Not just professionals, not just lawyers. We need jobs for the average individual. We need to be able to work in this state. You call me at 248-848-1310. Hopefully have an answer at the other end of this break. Stay tuned.
Are you played by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 W. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time,
he insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder. And he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
What have you done for your marriage today? While you're thinking, here's what other people had to say.
My husband and my daughter and I went for a walk together.
Well, and it's going to be her birthday next week, so I've been spending time today making arrangements to make that extra special.
I called my wife on the phone and I told her, Sue, I love you. And I meant it.
I flirted with my husband like a week before, so she can just relax.
I know I didn't fight.
What have I done for my marriage today? Wow.
I don't know.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up.
But what have I done? I'm actually giving my wife the rest of the day off from me. She's going to visit with her girlfriend.
What have you done for your marriage today? Try something new to make yours great. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication
Not connected.
Campaign.
Can you hear me?
Back to the show. You know, I go crazy when I hear that people rally against lawyers and they are the blame of the system. I'm not saying it is not true. Heck, I know a lot of lawyers that I don't think should be lawyers. You know what? I know a lot of plumbers that shouldn't be plumbers too. It doesn't mean that all plumbers are bad. It doesn't mean that all radio engineers are bad just because a couple of them drive you nuts. It means that what you do is you find the good ones, and that's who the ones you use. You can always choose what lawyers you want. Everybody complains about their own lawyer. Everybody complains about judges. Everybody complains about ones that don't necessarily do what you want them to do. But you know what? The bottom line is there are a lot of good professionals out there that help take care of us, and I'm glad they're there. And there's one judge, oh my goodness, there's one judge who's sending T.I. back to prison. That's right. Federal judge ordered rapper T.I. back to prison for 11 months for violating his probation with a drug arrest Friday. T.I., whose real name, well, we know him here, as Clifford Harris, begged the U.S. District Judge Charles Pennell for mercy. Mercy, Judge. Don't send me back to prison. Oh, my goodness. Don't put me back behind bars. Don't send me because I can't live in prison. He said, I screwed up big time, and I'm sorry, during his probation revocation hearing. I am sincerely sorry, he says. I'm scared to go back to prison. Well, you know, let me tell you something. Everybody is scared to go to prison. Mr. Harris had the limit of his second chances, the judge says, as he imposed his sentence. With wife crying, everybody screaming in the court, he gets 2 years. 2 years. The judge says he dumped a lot of smut all over the experiment. And let me tell you what experiment they're talking about. It's an experiment of coming up with a creative sentence so that he didn't have to go to prison in the first place. It's just like Kwame. You come up with a creative sentence. You come up with ways to be able to stay out of prison. It's just like we have here. Like everywhere. It doesn't have to just be out in a place where a rapper is heading out to prison. It doesn't have to be out across the country. It could be right here in Detroit. You get an opportunity to stay out of jail. You better take advantage of it. Kwame had an opportunity to stay out, and he thumbed his nose at the system. And that's what happens. You thumb your nose at the system, you get a judge who's going to rap that hammer on the desk, and he's going to make sure that you live up to your obligations. So they're going to say goodbye to T.I. for a little while. They're going to make him pay for what he did, at least punishment-wise. But hopefully he can learn his lesson. Hopefully he can be able to have that opportunity to learn what's going on. But I don't really believe the prison system is set up for education. I think it's punishment. I think it's there, basically, to punish those individuals. People think that you can learn a lot. I guess you can get religion. You can come out and you can feel that it's important to you to change in prison, therefore change on your own. But it's no different than when you're on the outside. You're on the outside of prison. You can change yourself. You take matters into your own hands. Well, when you're in prison, people don't change unless they want to change. They have to take that initiative. It's no different I've had thousands of people I've known that have stayed out of prison. And the ones that go to prison, if they want to change, they come out a better person. But it's got nothing to do with the prison system. It's got to do with them themselves. You have to take the power to change. Tariq, what do you got to say about that? Tariq, you got to turn on that radio.
Hello?
Yeah, Tariq, you got to turn off your radio. I can't hear you.
Hello?
Tariq, turn off your radio. We can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What do you got to say about that? What are you calling about? What can I do for you? We lost Tariq. But that is the system. You got to be able to take advantage of your own worth, your own, how you feel yourself, and change. Whether it's because you're suffering from some kind of substance abuse problem, whether you've elected to follow individuals that are leading you down a path that becomes problematic. You're with a gang of people that they're all dealing with drugs. Get off that path. Stay away. Do not go down that path. No one's going to change it for you. No judge, no probation officer, no government official. You got to change it yourself. You have to take control. We got Tariq back. Can you hear me? You got to turn on your radio, Tariq. You know, we're having problems with Tariq. Tariq, can you hear me? Tariq is killing me. Whenever you call on a radio show, turn off your radio. Because we can't hear you. You want to join us at 248-848-1310. You call and turn off your radio, turn it down, and then when we're done, you turn it back up.
Do you not like hearing yourself in the in an echo?
That's all I end up hearing. That's what I end up doing. Hey, listen, we do want to support the family organizes a fund for Castex Senior Funeral. This was so sad. Ariel Lombard, the 17-year-old Castex Senior who collapsed and died at the school earlier this week, will be laid to rest Monday. Lombard's aunt, Katrina Stokes, said that in this sad moment, it is important to remember that Ariel died a young lady who had a wonderful, fulfilling life. Ariel was a vibrant presence at the school at Castex, involved in activities including cheerleader, softball, National Honor Society, and Pep Club. Stokes also said Lombard was an outstanding student who wanted to be an anesthesiologist. And believe me, that is a tough road. That is unbelievable. It's so, so sad. Funeral services will be held 10 o'clock at Little Rock Baptist Church in Detroit. The family set up a fund to pay for funeral expenses, so please donate to that so we can actually help that family out. And is asking for public help. These donations can be made to the Bank of America in Ariel's name. You can call us and we'll give you that number, that name at 248-848-1310. Stokes added that whatever funds are remaining after the funeral arrangements are paid for would go to the Castex senior class of 2011 in her name. They're awaiting the autopsy results. It's so sad when you see that. You know, listen, I'm a parent. I don't care what's going on in your life. You've got to feel for any parent that loses a child. I've known friends of mine that have done that, that have had that tragedy happen. And there is no worse feeling in the world than to lose a child. One of the things that we need to do is we need to get a hold of what's going on in this state. We need to be able to get a hold of the, not just the economy, but the ability to be able to control our own actions. You know, I see it every day. I see it every single day in the court system. And we go back to what they were talking about earlier. How do we control ourselves to stay out of prison? How does a guy like T.I. Rapper, how do they not control themselves so they don't wind back up in prison? Are we that deficient? Are we that irresponsible where we can't control our actions? Do we always blame it on who we're with? I mean, whether we're in a store, whether we're alone on the phone, whether we're dealing with our own Facebook pages, whether on the internet, we have to control ourselves. We have to be able to control our actions. I mean, we see it every single day in the criminal justice system. People are robbed. People go in and rob other places. We just see this place in Grosse Pointe Farms. The bank was robbed. How do you go in and rob a bank? And you justify that. The PC Bank at Kirchhoff, Owen Fisher in Grosse Pointe Farms, the Free Press writes, was robbed at 4 o'clock by a man who handed a teller a note and demanded money. Hey, I know times are bad. I know people are out of work, but are we robbing banks now so that we can pay our rent and our mortgage? No employees were injured in the robbery. The man, who did not show a weapon nor imply he was armed, just handed a note, fled the bank on foot after receiving the money, the police said. Shortly after the robbery, a black vehicle was seen traveling at a high rate of speed north on Fisher toward Mack. They're chasing it, right? The suspect is described as black, late 20s, kind of tall, short black hair. And you know what? They basically have no idea who this guy is. The man also carried a small cloth bag with two pockets on the side, got away with a load of cash. And you know what they have? It seems like they have a bunch of nothing. They don't know who it is. They're going to be stupefied for a while. What is it about? What is it about people that would create a sense of need to go actually into a bank and steal money? Do you know what? I mean, that takes such. What is it? Chutzpah? Not good chutzpah. Bad chutzpah. It takes a desperate individual to do that. Are they people that are only looking for drugs? I mean, I've had that for years. I've had clients that commit crimes because they are dependent on medication, on drugs, on heroin, on something that is now in control of their mind and their body, and they steal to keep them going. That is a difficult, a very difficult situation and a difficult circle to break. And you know what they need? They need counseling. They don't need prison. You send an addict to prison, that doesn't help them. They need counseling. They need support. They need to get to the point where they are not controlled by this drug anymore, and they can make proper choices in their brain so they don't go out to a bank and rob it. I know what you'll say. There are people that rob banks because they're evil. They feel that what other people have should be theirs. They're jealous. They're greedy. They're people that aren't deserving of help. I know there are people that will say that. But let me tell you, after doing this for 20 years, that's not the majority of the people. No, it's not the majority of the people that go in and steal and rob because they're evil. They're doing it because they're in need of something else. They want something else. A drug. They want something else. They don't want to do it the way that a citizen of this country who pays taxes, who tries to make money the right way, will do it, because they're involved with something else. They're not robbing banks because they're mad at the bank. I guess that can happen, but that's not the tendency. They are doing something like that because they need a drug. They need something else in their life to be satisfied. And that is simply one of the results of it. It's not the cause. They're trying to support a habit, so they'll go steal something. It doesn't justify it. It simply comments on it. It doesn't mean that it's okay. It means that there's something else going on. And many of these people are in prison. Many of these people are languishing in our prison system, and they need help. They need something else other than just punishment. You want to call this, you want to talk to us at 248-848-1310, and you tell me whether or not you feel that's the case. I could be wrong. Hey, I've only done this for 20 years. Keith, what do you think? Are they moral? Are they robbing because they're immoral?
Hello?
Yeah, Keith, what do you think? Are they moral or immoral? We're just having problems with our phone system. I can't hear anybody.
Hello?
Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
So what? Are these people that are committing crimes, are they moral or immoral?
Well, of course they're immoral, but the fact that we know so much immorality is going on did not start yesterday. I think the 1920s promoted this idea of the criminal being advertised in our newspapers and in our communities. We make movies of them, Angels with Dirty Faces. We like the idea of the criminal in America. And he's an evil fellow, but he get book deals. And the Teflon Don, he gets these monikers put on his name. And he means...
Well, that's interesting. We lost Keith. What we need is a better phone system. That is interesting, where, you know, it's really the issue of America loves not necessarily the criminal. I don't agree with Keith. I don't think he's right. I think America loves controversy. Why in the news is it always the bad story? We don't hear the good stories. We hear the bad stories. We hear the stories of the robbery, of the rape, of the assault. We hear the bad stories. Where are the good stories? Why can't we get a story that's heartfelt? You know why? Because most people don't want to hear it. They want to hear about the divorce. They want to hear about all the different things that are bad. Isn't that right? People don't want to hear the good stuff. Heck, we can read our little Reader's Digest for that. We want to hear the bad stuff. We want to talk about all the stuff that makes us talk at the water cooler. You don't talk about people's birthday parties there. You talk about who's getting divorced, who got arrested, who got charged with a crime, right? That's why all those stories are like that. They want to talk and we're interested about the craziness, not the easy stuff. Not the sweet stuff. I don't know what our society would be like if it was that. Can you imagine if all we heard on the news, well, that was the great stuff? Who's getting married? Who had babies? Whose mom lived to 102? You know what I mean? Who's not suffering from Alzheimer's? Promotions in the police department on a police officer that actually is doing a really good job? A lawyer who won a great settlement for a company because they were being eaten up by another bad company or a foreign company? Well, where are the good stories? How come we can't come up with good stories? Hey, I'm no different. Do you know what I mean? I'm on the air every week. We don't talk about the most favorable things. We talk about people accused of crimes. Now, I'll cover it when they're found not guilty, too. You could say that's a good story. You can say in the criminal world, it's good if you're not convicted of a crime, except, you guess what? You're always going to have someone mad because they weren't convicted of a crime. You can't make everybody happy. All you can do is you can take care of your family. You can take care of yourself. If you believe in God, you can be godly. And you can try to help others. What we listen to on the news, what is covered on the cable channels, we can't control that other than the fact we cannot listen to it. We can turn it off. We're adults. We don't have to listen to the negativity. Hey, next time you want to complain about what's on the cable channels, you don't like it, turn it off. You can say the same thing about anything on the internet. Heck, my son rallies against it all the time. My teenage son, man, I tell you, he rallies against censorship all the time. People will argue that video games and violent video games are the cause of our teenagers being rude, that it's because of that they might be more violent. You ask these teenagers, like, you got to be crazy. That's not what's going on. Parents can control what their teenagers listen to and watch. You want your teenager to be responsible, you have to sit down and begin talking to them. I do it with mine every single day. Hey, believe me, we don't agree on many things. And I learn a lot from him. I don't know how much he learns from me, but I know something gets through. But there's one thing that happens. We have a conversation. We can talk about what video games might be inappropriate for a 9-year-old as opposed to a 16-year-old. You know, you have to talk to your teenagers to make that kind of education happen. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. And if we decide, after talking with our teenager, that video game is inappropriate, that the show they're watching on cable is inappropriate, then we turn it off. You need that kind of conversation, that potential education, and then you need that type of action. It's not up to the cable producers and the TV show producers and the video game designers to make sure that you're doing your proper parenting. You have to do it. I see it every day in the criminal courts. Parents blame other people for what's going on with their children. You see it in the juvenile courts every single day. You see it in the adult court every day, where parents are making excuses. You know what? What was going on when that kid was 11? Were you having that influence and that conversation when the kid was 13? What were you teaching him about having sex at 14? Were you talking about going to stores with their buddies and ripping off the stores at 15? You know, where were you? What were you doing? You join this conversation at 248-848-1310. Because I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you what I got. I got a lot of questions. Because I do believe that if parents take responsibility for the individual education of the child from day one, they can have so much more influence than if they simply leave it up to the media, to the talking heads, to the video game designers. You leave it up to them, believe me, you're going to have problems with your kids. You let your kid watch TV 10 hours a day and don't sit and watch those shows with them and discuss it and decide which ones are appropriate or which ones aren't. Oh, believe you me, you're going to have problems. It doesn't mean that it always solves everything, but if we get involved with our kids, if we get involved in our city governments, if we get involved in our state government, then we can say, then we can choose to criticize others. You know what I mean? Then we can be a part of the system, but be a part of it. Be a part of our government. You want to rally against lawyers? You want to rally against what they do in this state? Hey, go run for office. Do you know what I mean? Go change the way things are. There is no doubt that what we have going here is a system of people that don't get involved enough. Do you know what I mean? So get involved. You can call me during the week. You can call at 248-855-1400. And I'll tell you, I will rap with you about any of this stuff. I will make sure that all your questions are answered. Because we can't cover it all on a radio show. You have any other criminal problems, you have any other legal problems, you call me and I will make sure that you are taken care of. You call me at 248-855-1400. And you got to get involved. You got to make it happen. Listen every week on Crime Time Live, and we will help you through all your troubles. Stay tuned. And come join us next week. We're going to have a great show. Take care.
Identify me.